Thank you for listening to the Prairie Oaks Pulpit Podcast. This is a recording of our Sunday morning sermons. I hope it is a blessing to you and contributes to your spiritual growth. Thank you for listening. Thank you for supporting this ministry. God bless. Now let's get to the sermon. Okay, so I need the refresher. I'm going to let you guys get a refresher too. So a few weeks ago, we were in Romans chapter 6. I don't know how many of you, it feels like it's been forever since we were at Mother's Day. Even Mother's Day seems like a long time ago. Now, last time we were in Romans seems even farther. But in Romans chapter 6, we saw where the Apostle Paul was setting forth that we serve either sin or we serve Christ. And he was telling us, you've died. So quit surrendering to the flesh, to sin, and surrender your body, yourself, your members, your to Christ, to serve him. And so he says, the reason is multitude, but one of the big reasons is because serving sin is death. That's what the wages of sin is. Sin pays off in death. But Christ, it's not wages, it's a gift. Eternal life. Not just living, eternal life. So much better. And so that was Romans chapter 6. Then because he didn't put the chapter breaks in there, right? You know, those came later. And so he's just still writing his letter. And as he continues to write his letter, then he goes into an illustration to explain that point of how death, being united with Christ in his death, frees us. And he uses that illustration that, well, it's talking about marriage. It's really less about divorce and remarriage and a lot more about us. In Christ, we've died to the old law of Moses. We've been set free from that because Christ fulfilled all those requirements. And so he says, so now that you have died to that, live in this freedom. But then he brings up a really important point, and it's important because of two reasons. One, the Apostle Paul gets very personal with us. He gives us some details of his inner mind and workings that you don't always get in his letters. And two, and it should resonate with us if we're honest with ourselves. And that is that there's still this war going on within. It is a struggle. Because it's one thing to say, oh, I'm surrendering to Christ and I've put to death those sinful desires. It's a whole nother to put it into action, isn't it? And so he says, this is work. This is work. And so in chapter 7, what we call chapter 7, you know, he points out that this, the law, instead of helping us overcome that sinful tendency, actually just reveals that sinful tendency. And there were people in that he was writing to and that they thought, well, the law is the problem. The law is bad because it's pointing out my sin. And he's like, no, you've got it backwards. The law is the mirror. It's just revealing what you are. It doesn't just reveal what you are. It brings it out, you know. It's giving you a better view. You know those mirrors that for cosmetics and things like that? It doesn't just reflect. It magnifies, right? I don't know. Some of you may have that. Some of you may not. If you don't have one, don't get one because they're horrifying. Because it reveals all sorts of things. And that's what the law does. It reveals more than you want to see. And so he says, it's not, and this is where we pick up. We're going to pick up in verse 12 of Romans chapter 7, talking about the law. But I'm pausing here for a minute before we dive into this. Because he says this term, the law, and then sometimes puts a of whatever behind it. But it is hard to know what he's talking about. The best scholars in the world in the Bible struggle with figuring out what Paul is talking about. So there's things that are really simple for us. and I'm pretty simple. I'll be able to share those with you. But there's other things that you might have heard other preachers say something different, and they may be right, I may be wrong, but I'm going to tell you the best that I understand the Scriptures, okay, on what he's referring to in these. But in the end, what's really important is we take away the main point, and I'll make sure we get that, all right? So Romans chapter 7, we're going to begin in verse 12, and if you would, out of respect for God's Word, would you stand with me as we read to the end of the chapter? Therefore, the law is holy, and the commandment holy and just and good. Has then what is good become death to me? Certainly not. But sin, that it might appear sin, was producing death in me through what is good, so that sin through the commandment might become exceedingly sinful. For we know that the law is spiritual, but I am carnal, sold under sin. For what I am doing, I do not understand. For what I will to do, that I do not practice. But what I hate, that I do. If then I do what I will not to do, I agree with the law that it is good. But now it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. For I know that in me, that is in my flesh, nothing good dwells. For to will is present with me. But how to perform what is good, I do not find. For the good that I will to do, I do not do. But the evil I will not to do, that I practice. Now, if I do what I will not to do, it is no longer I who do it, but sin that dwells in me. I find then a law that evil is present with me, the one who wills to do good. For I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. But I see another law in my members, warring against the law of my mind and bringing me into captivity to the law of sin, which is in my members. O wretched man that I am, who will deliver me from this body of death? I thank God through Jesus Christ our Lord. So then with the mind, I myself serve the law of God, but with the flesh, the law of sin. Let's pause for prayer. Father, we're just thankful you've given us this time together. I thank you, Lord, for just your word. May it be a lamp unto our feet and a light unto our path to show us the way in which we should go. Lord, that we would hide these words in our heart that we might not sin against you. And so, Lord, as we see the struggle, Lord, help us to not surrender to sin, Lord, but help us to lean into Christ, who is our sustainer and provider, who will, with the temptation, make a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. Thank you, Lord, for your faithfulness, even when we are not, for your mercy and your compassion. We thank you for your holiness and righteousness. Continue that work in us. And in the name of Jesus Christ, our King, our Savior, and our example, we pray. Amen. You may be seated. Okay, so you see here, he says, so then the law is holy, just as the one who gave it, right? The one who gave the law is holy. He is just. He is righteous. He does all things right. And he is good. And so then what's going on here? Well, why is there evil? Because we've sinned. We sin because we're sinners. And it is. We're not sinners because we sin. We're our sinners who sin. It's there. And in Christ, the old man has been put to death, but he still lives on in the body. In a way that, so we have natural appetites, right? We have natural appetites and they're good. They're to keep us alive. But because of sin, those natural appetites can be twisted and manipulated to lead us into sin. And you don't have to look around very long to realize it works. Satan doesn't have to have any new tricks. The old ones work 100%. And so, whether it's, you know, addictions or whatever temptations, they start with something that is good, a natural desire. But then God has given us limits for those. Well, we want what we can't have. Have you ever noticed that? If you haven't, if you've not had kids. Because you tell your kids, no, what do they want? That. Even more than they did before you told them no. And so, it isn't limited to kids. Chances are, you as adults are the same way. If you don't think so, look at the speed limits and look at how people drive. Right? It's there. We've all got it. We all want a little more than what has been set as our boundaries. And so it is not the law's fault. It is that we are sinful. We are sinners. And it's still there. And so the Apostle Paul admits that, you know, I don't understand. I want to do what is right, but it still comes out wrong. And this is where I will acknowledge a point. There's some who say, well, this can't be speaking of the Apostle Paul in his current state as a Christian, right? Isn't he like nearly sinless or something? Well, he's using the present tense, I am. And he says even here where he says this is, but now. This is him right now. And so I pause in order to elaborate on this point. If we say we have no sin, we're a liar. We're a liar, and we only fool ourselves, and we make God a liar because he's told us we're sinners. And so that's why we know he's talking about right now. And that is a comfort to me. Because if the Apostle Paul had not yet attained, as he told the Philippians, he hadn't reached perfection, well, maybe God's still working on me, and I have hope. If he's still working on the Apostle Paul, then he's still working on me. If he's not, then I need to go back to the root, don't I? Because that means I'm not saved, and that's why there's no fruit. That's why there's no struggle, right? And so I also have to pause here and say, you know, this is a key point. Notice the conflict that's going on in there. If there isn't that conflict, it's because we've already surrendered. Or we never have had victory in Christ. Never had victory in Jesus. And so as the Apostle Paul tells the Corinthians, he says, I want you to examine yourselves, right? You better make sure you're in the faith. I don't want you going out of here and not knowing your eternal state and for you to be lost. But he says here, he says that, so in my flesh, nothing good dwells. It's still there. The will is present with me. What is it that Jesus told his disciples? The spirit is willing, but the flesh is weak. The flesh is weak. For the good that I want to do, I don't do it. But the evil I don't want to do, that's what comes out. That's what I practice. And so, he says that sin still dwelling in me. And he uses the word the law of sin in places. And the reason he uses that is that in my mind, it's like who rules. Because, you know, we use the word rule in English two different ways, right? At least two different ways. One is that idea of, well, it's a rule. The rule is no running in the sanctuary, right? And so that's the rule. But then also we use it in that, you know, the king rules. who rules in your life. And you even heard me say that today. And so we see both of those. And I think that's how he's using this. And so I bring this back around and saying, but who rules in your life then? Is it the rule of sin or is it the rule of Christ? Who rules in this? And this is where the evil is present. It's still working. And this is where, you know, I like history and things like that. And you've got a kingdom. And the king is on his throne. And it should be Jesus. But in the outskirts of the kingdom, there's still a rebellion going on, isn't there? Satan is still at work. The world is still tempting. The flesh, its desires are being manipulated towards sin. Who am I bending the knee to? Am I helping the rebels in the jungle? Or am I serving the king on his throne? Because if the king is on his throne, if I've been saved, then that's the one I need to be following. That's the one I need to be following. And so he says, I delight in the law of God according to the inward man. And I'm going to detour for just a second here, because as I read, I've read that verse several times in my life. And it wasn't until this week that it dawned on me. Paul is alluding to one of the Psalms, Psalm 1. So flip over to Psalm 1 real quick. Because I think he's alluding to Psalm 1 because he wants us to include it in our thinking here. Psalm 1 is a really good one. I'm going to read the whole thing. And if you're looking for something to memorize this week, memorize Psalm 1. It's good stuff. I know, it's a lot. 6 verses. Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful. So let's pause there. Blessed is that one who isn't listening to the advice of those who are against God. Is that short enough for you? Blessed is the one who's not listening to the advice. They don't walk with them. They don't stand and conspire with them, and they don't sit in the seat in the throne of those that scorn God. It's a choice. But instead, what are they choosing? Because we're choosing one or the other. Verse 2, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night. Delighting in the law of the Lord. What is our appetite? For what the world is feeding us on TikTok and YouTube and TV and all those things? Or are we delighting in God's Word? It's a choice, isn't it? Because it's not easy to delight in Leviticus. It's not easy to delight in the genealogies. But are we even delighting in the stories of Jesus? Are we even delighting in the teachings of the apostles? Or in the stories of God's faithfulness in the Old Testament? Is it daily? Do you notice that? Day and night. Now, they didn't have access to a Bible here or on their phone where they could read it all the time. So what they heard, they had to meditate on it. Ponder on it. It was something they rehearsed with themselves. There is an old illustration. Brother Gene can tell you who said it because I can't right now. But of one who compared those two natures as two dogs. And how do you know which dog is going to win? It's the one that I feed. Right? Which one am I feeding my thoughts, my time, my passions to? And that's why he says, I'm meditating, I'm pondering, I'm thinking day and night on these things. I can tell the difference between me having had time with God in my prayers, in His Word, and when I don't. And everyone else can tell too, probably before I can tell. Amen? You know it. You know it. And so, the one who does that, verse 3 of Psalm 1, he shall be like a tree planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatever he does shall prosper. And if you've traveled much out west and you see it's just barren desert, except where there's a stream, except where there's a river, except where there's a spring, and there is life. That's what David grew up with. And that's what he describes here. It's a rough wilderness in this world. He says you better root yourself close to the one who planted the Garden of Eden. That's where life is. Because the ungodly are not so, but are like the chaff which the wind drives away. There's no life there, no root. Therefore, the ungodly shall not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous. There is a judgment day coming. We better be thinking about that. For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the ungodly shall perish. So Paul is telling us that in this struggle, we have a tool. We have a help. And it is the Word of God, because the Word of God is accompanied by the Spirit of God. And the Spirit of God is life. He brings life. And so we need to live closer to Him. And that's where, as we finish up Romans chapter 7, you can flip back over there. This wretched state that I'm in, who can deliver me from this body, this flesh of death? Thank God for Jesus. Thank God for Jesus. Because I can serve the law of God even while in my flesh there's still that desire for the rule of sin. And this is where I want to go to chapter 8, verses 1 and 2. Because remember I told you, he didn't put the chapter and verse markings in there. He just wrote a letter. But the people who put the chapter and verses in there were like, ooh, this is a big point. This is a good place to start a chapter. But you have to remember, it also connects to what just was said. How do we know that? Well, there's a therefore. And if there's a therefore, you have to wonder what it's there for. Right? Remember that? So chapter 8, verse 1. There is therefore now no condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus, who do not walk according to the flesh, but according to the Spirit. For the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. We're going to unpack that more in the coming weeks, but I want to just sit on this for a minute. No condemnation to those who are in Christ Jesus. That's why I started out with, I don't want you living thinking you're in Christ and you're not. Because he says this is what it looks like. We don't walk according to the flesh. We walk according to His Spirit. It's going to show up. There's going to be fruit. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has made me free from the law of sin and death. I've been set free. I'm not in it by myself. Thank God He has delivered. And instead, the law of the Spirit. The law, the rule of the Spirit.